A little group of six of us stood at the top of a mountain pass on a beautiful August day. For several weeks, friends and I had been planning this day hike that would start on one trailhead, head up several thousand feet to a mountain pass called Sundance Pass, and down the other side, 19 miles for the whole day. And a couple days before that trip, the plan and the intent of the day, which was to have a good day of enjoying the outdoors and enjoying each other's friendship, that changed. Two of our friends asked to join our group with the intent of scattering their son's ashes. Their young son had died at age 12 of a congenital birth defect, and his funeral had been a couple weeks before. And of course, we said yes. Come with us. So we hiked up about 8 miles or so, took in the view, had some lunch, sat in quiet for a little while, and then Mike got up and stood and put his hand in this bag and scattered dust into the wilderness. And I gathered our group for a prayer. We thanked God for the mighty of the beautiful creation. We thanked God for his care and for his knowing us, even though we felt small and significant in that vast wilderness. We felt known. We gave thanks for the life of Mason, whose his care he was now in. And we also prayed for strength and healing for his parents and for those of us who would be caring for his parents in the days and weeks to come. And so without planning it, our day hike had turned into a little funeral. And it was only a few weeks before that that I had started to tell my friends of my intention to go back to school to become a funeral director. They were a little surprised by that because I don't necessarily fit the mold of dark, somber man lurking in corners. And so, and I couldn't really articulate at that time why I wanted to do it, except that I said, I think I can be good at it. So a few weeks later, at the end of that little event there at the top of the mountain, we headed back down, and then I came back here to Minnesota and started classes within a few weeks of that hike. And it was with purpose that I got through these challenging classes. It had been a long time since I'd been in school. And there I encountered an author that gave me the words to describe what it is that I wanted to be about. And that is Thomas Lynch, who was a poet and a funeral director in Michigan. And he has several published works, but in one of his books, The Good Funeral, talks about the fact that, yes, there is a good funeral. And in a good funeral, we get the dead where they need to go, and we get the living where they need to be. And I believe in that, in ritual, that there's healing, there's movement, there's procession of a casket or an urn or whatever it is, and there's movement and procession of the people that loved that person, and there's healing in those steps. So ritual matters. In the time since that hike and that little impromptu funeral, I've participated in hundreds of funerals. And I love every one of them for different reasons. Some of them are what we call easy funerals, you know. This person lived to 104, and their whole family is gets along well, and they went to church, and they all know what to do when they get here. And others, not so much. There's tragic and sad, terrible cases where, you know, infants are killed by abusive parents, and teens lose their lives to overdose, and young adults take their own lives because they can't see another way out. And yet, in all of those gatherings, for each of those families, there's ritual. There's us moving the dead where they need to go and their families where they need to be. It might not matter that those families are so dysfunctional that they can't even be in the same room together, let alone support one another in grief. But we try. We lay the groundwork and we say, here is where you need to be. Let us help you get there. So a couple of weeks ago, I was on call on a Saturday night like I frequently am. And I try to come to church on Sunday morning, but then, just as I pulled into the driveway, or into the parking lot here, I got a text that a new call was coming in. So I just sat in the van and waited a little bit to hear what it was. And I listened to the message, and it was a broken-hearted father whose teenage daughter had just been killed in a car accident the day before, and he needed my help. And my first thought was, I don't know if I have enough gas in my tank to take care of this one. And then I did some reflecting and also realized that probably amongst my colleagues working that weekend, I was probably the best equipped to do it. And so I set about the work of helping this family. It wasn't lost on me that that young girl is just a month older than my own son. And so, you know, I know what these parents have been feeling all this time of looking forward to celebration and new adventures and all of these things. And they weren't going to get to have that. I promised this girl's dad that I would take care of her as if she were my own, and I think I did. In the week that followed that phone call, I held her hand, and I combed her hair, and I promised her her dad was coming to see her soon, and that he loved her. Even though we both knew she wasn't there, it felt good to be able to provide that for him. It got that girl where she needed to go, to cremation and then to a service at the end of the week. And it got her parents where they needed to be too. We had a ritual. We had an urn on a table surrounded by beautiful pink flowers. We had her favorite band sweatshirt. We had pictures of a vibrant life. We even had some of her favorite music, including the Baby Shark song. And so there was a celebration in amongst all the sadness. And as I worked on that with that family this week, I realized that part of my own kind of reluctance to be with them was that I've been experiencing grief of my own this year. And I don't mean in any way to compare my grief to the grief of a family who's lost a child, because there's nothing that's greater than that, I don't think. But I have been. You know, we're here with our kid in his senior year of high school, and we're experiencing a lot of lasts. And 2 years ago when we did this with our daughter, it was very exciting. New adventures and things ahead and things to plan for. We had done our job, she was ready, we were proud, and it was exciting. And now we're doing that again, and Bjorn is going to leave us in the fall. But he's got great adventures ahead, and yes, it's exciting, but it's the last time we're going to do it. And so there's a little bit of sadness. But reflecting on this family this last week and all the funerals and the rituals that I've participated in the last few years, I realized that maybe Thomas Lynch's words about getting the dead where they need to go and living where they need to be doesn't apply just to funerals. We're experiencing our last concerts, our last plays, last prom, and a graduation ceremony this year, and there's lots to be excited about. But all of those things are rituals too. Not about the dead, but to celebrate these landmarks and this growth and new experience. And so in our own way, Bjorn is getting where he needs to go. And we're going where we need to be. Thank you.